Coming up on today's episode of the St. Petersburg Foodies Podcast.
And that's when I saw Dave Spade for the first time, who used to wear a preppy little sweater and looked like he just got out of elementary school. I mean, he was,
that's funny.
He still looks like that.
And then I audited that class when they finally came to me after about 7-8 months, and they said, listen, we don't have record of you paying. And I said, oh, I've been auditing. He said, for how long? My dad was the news director and local anchorman on Channel 13. And so I saw him coming out of the TV, and everybody else that I knew, you know, Flip Wilson, John Wayne, I thought he knew everybody. I thought, the trailer is out. You can see me. I get my neck snapped in it.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. We're...
Coming to you from St. Petersburg, Florida, you're listening to the St. Petersburg Foodies Podcast, the show that's the authority on where to eat in St. Pete. Here are your hosts, Kevin Godby and Lori Brown.
Hi, I'm Kevin Godby.
And I'm Lori Brown. Thank you for tuning in today.
Welcome to the St. Petersburg Foodies Podcast, the podcast that's it when it comes to restaurants and food information in St. Pete.
And be sure to check out our website, stpetersburgfoodies.com. There you'll find great information, including restaurant reviews, the largest St. Pete happy hour list ever created and kept updated, and information on the newest restaurants in town. We are locals that live in downtown St. Pete, and we've been eating our way through this town for years, so you don't have to, but you should.
We have a new episode every Tuesday. Just hit the subscribe button and you'll get notified when an episode is ready for download. And then you can listen to them anytime you want, like on your morning jog or commute to work.
On today's show, our featured guest is local St. Pete actor and comedian Ward Smith.
Ward has been in dozens of films and TV series. We'll talk about some of those and his plant-based diet.
At the top of the show, we have Abby with her recipe for kabocha squash stuffed with cacio e pepe rice.
We have a great show, so stick around.
St. Pete is all about local, and this year we celebrate a local legend's 25th anniversary. Roland Oates Market and Cafe was founded in July of 94 by Bert Swain and Larry Schwartz. From the beginning, Roland Oates has made a commitment to provide St. Pete customers with the finest quality organic whole foods, nutritional supplements, and body care products at the most reasonable prices possible. And now they have a South Tampa location too. We go there for many items, but they are the only place that we go to buy our raw probiotics and other supplements. They have the best organic whole food selection in town, and on the flip side of that, they also offer a fantastic selection of wines and an unparalleled selection of local craft beer. Roland Oates has a cafe open daily, which offers delicious sandwiches, burgers, soups, salads, bowls, wraps, entrees, and fresh-made smoothies, along with a variety of prepared and packaged take-home meals located in the market itself. Do you pride yourself with supporting local businesses? Well, put your money where your mouth is and get on into Roland Oates today.
Roland Oates St. Pete is located at 2842 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Street North. And in South Tampa, you'll find them at 1021 North MacDill Avenue. Check them out on the web at rolandoates.com.
That's rolinoates.com. And Roland Oates offers online ordering with curbside pickup.
Hey, Lori, have you ever been to Noble Crust?
I have.
What do you like there?
Pork belly, pimento cheese, and fried green tomatoes are my favorite.
Oh yeah, I love that one too. They actually call it the FGBLT. It's fried green tomatoes, pork belly glazed with a Tabasco honey sauce and pimento cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the first item on the menu, so you can't miss it. And I think they should actually call it the OMG.
Yeah, you've said that before. The chicken marsala is really good too. It has chicken and chicken sausage, crimini mushrooms, and four cheese grits. It's so delicious.
I love that they mix classics from the American Deep South and Italy. Noble Crust is famous for their fried chicken.
I love it.
Yeah, and the eggplant parmesan is out of this world. When we do a best eggplant parm list, it'll definitely be on there.
Yes, it will.
Speaking of lists, Noble Crust made six of them recently. Best Italian, Best Casual Dining, Best Pizza, Best Bloody Marys, Best Meatballs, and
believe it or not, best salads.
Ooh, can I tell you another one of my favorite items?
Yeah.
The spaghetti and meatballs. It's so good.
Man, you're not kidding. You know what? They have a brunch on Saturdays and Sundays starting at 10:30, which I love. And the deviled eggs are to die for.
Let's go to Noble Crust right now.
I'm in. Let's do it. Please welcome, with our monthly recipe, straight from the St. Pete Foodies Test Kitchen, Abby Allen.
Welcome, Abby.
Hello. Hi, guys.
Hey. So I'm going to let you introduce this recipe, but I want to say it looks like you are going seasonal like you tend to do. And I like that it's Italian inspired.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So seasonal being that we are using winter squash. It's not available all the time, of course, as you know. You can usually always find a spaghetti squash or a butternut squash, but different squash like delicata and acorn and kabocha squash, which is what we're using, the kabocha squash for this recipe, are not typically always available. So as soon as I see those hit the shelves, I immediately buy it up, even if I don't know what I'm going to do with it. So yeah, so with this kabocha squash, I was in Roanoke and they had their big bin of squash, the delicata, the acorn, all that good stuff, and picked it up and thought, what the heck can I do with this?
They are seasonal. They're not around for long, yes. And they're at Rollin' Oats. So as soon as everyone's done listening to this, pause, run out to Rollin' Oats and get one quick before they're gone.
Yes, absolutely. It's a little green. It's like a little, like almost like a small, like the size of a small pumpkin, but it's green. They'll have lines and markings on it and different things like that, which I have read the different lines and things that indicates it's a ripeness indicator. Because otherwise, I really wasn't sure how to pick squash. So yeah, the roasted stuffed kabocha squash, and you mentioned the Italian influence. And I saw online somewhere someone posted a couple of weeks ago a cacio e pepe, which is basically parmesan cheese and black pepper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a tradition. It's a pasta, and it's delicious. Got all that peppery, cheesy goodness. So I said, hey, you know, why can't we do this with rice? You know, maybe it could be a good Thanksgiving dish. You know, it's fall season. Try to channel that all we can. So what we've done is we, with this recipe, made the rice. It's just basmati rice. Cook that as is, you know, look at your package instructions, toss it with your lots of Parmesan cheese, lots of black pepper, stuff it in your squash. Before you want to stuff it, though, we put it in the oven and let it soften up a little bit, and then we stuff it, and then we throw it in the oven for about 45 minutes and pull it out, and it is ready to eat as is. But we've been testing this recipe. So the first time we had it, it was good, but we're like, you know, this could really use something. So we added sausage in it. We were going to do pork, and of course, Roanoke Oats, they have tons of Neat Neiman Ranch products.
Nice.
Actually, last month for the BLT, we used their bacon. So with this, they have spicy, and then they also have mild Italian sausage. So whichever you prefer for this, I used spicy. So we added sausage, and that was good. I said, I think it needs something else. I don't know. I mean, it would be great as a side dish, but it just seems something to make it feel more complete. And I don't know. I'm like, what do we do here? And I mentioned to Mike, I said, what about like a chili crisp? Are you guys familiar with like a chili crisp? I know Bon Appetit has a recipe. Kenji Lopez has there's tons of chili crisp recipes out there. And basically what it is you simmer a bunch of shallots and garlic in like a cup and a half of oil. And then you strain the oil off into a bowl of chili flakes and soy sauce and ginger. Mm. And you mix it all together in the crispy bits. And it is so good. And actually, at some stores, you can buy just regular chili crisp. It's usually in the international section. I don't think Roanoke Oats has it. But I have a recipe for this chili crisp, which is great on top. You get the crunchy bits from the burnt shallots and the garlic.
Nice.
And yeah, it just adds another just kind of extra
dimension.
Yes, dimension. Exactly. So, and again, it's optional. I'll put the recipe in there. You know, some folks may not like spicy. You could do it without that. So again, it's pretty versatile.
Nice.
So, Yes. Great.
It sounds delicious.
Yeah, it's a fun presentation and a little in the squash. And you, and after you pull it out, take the little top off and just cut it into like fours or six. And the great thing about caboclo squash, the skin is really thin, kind of like the delicata. So you can, the whole thing is edible. So slice it. Yeah. So you just slice it up and serve it. And, you know, everyone get a hunk of the squash with the rice and finish with some chili crisps and you're in business.
Nice. That sounds delicious.
It does.
It is delicious, yeah.
And we have a wine pairing from our wine expert, Ken Smith. And he was excited to have the opportunity to do a red pairing this time. And he went with a Chianti Classico, maybe partially because of the, you know, the Italian influence in the recipe. And a specific one that he chose, you know, you could go with any Chianti Classico, but the specific one that Ken recommended is Tenuta de Rinieri Chianti Classico 2016. And Ken says, it's an elegant offering displaying aromas of crushed berries, violets, and lavender. Medium bodied with soft tannins and a long finish. I like that. Mm-hmm. Pairs wonderfully with pork, parm, and garlic. This 93-point beauty over delivers at under $20. That has my name written all over it.
Yeah. That sounds delicious.
Absolutely.
I love that when you can find a bottle of wine that's somewhere between $15 and $20, and it's really good, and it tastes
like a $100 bottle.
It tastes better than the $100 bottle you had at your friend's house the other night.
Yes, that's awesome.
Again, we want to thank Rolling Oats. Actually, not again, because I forgot to thank him earlier. We want to thank Rolling Oats for sponsoring the monthly recipe, Abby Allen for creating it, and Ken Smith for doing the wine pairing, and buen provecho, y'all. We'll be right back with Ward Smith. Keep on moving. One of our favorite places to go eat in St. Pete is Engine No. 9. They've been a staple in downtown St. Pete coming up on 7 years, and they are famous for their unique and tasty burger creations. As a matter of fact, they are on the St. Pete Foodies list of best burgers in St. Pete. They also made the best hot dogs list, the best chilies, and the best wings in St. Pete. Aside from the food, Engine No. 9 is a great sports bar with lots of TVs, beer, and wine. And you can even get a regular old cheeseburger, too, so you can bring your non-adventurous eater friends. Check out Engine No. 9 at the corner of MLK and 1st Avenue North in downtown St. Pete. Their burgers can't be beat. Engine No. 9. Can you get me back on
time?
Please welcome local St. Petersburg actor, stand-up comedian, and voiceover artist, Ward Smith.
Welcome, Ward.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Laurie. Nice to be with you today.
You recently told me that for the past year or so, you've been eating a plant-based diet, which we are not too familiar with, so we are interested in hearing from you about that. But first, let's give the audience a chance to get to know you. Where are you originally from?
Originally from Tampa, Florida, and moved over here my senior year in St. Petersburg. So I guess you could say I'm somewhat of a native. Not really to St. Petersburg, but close enough. Graduated high school in 81, then was out and about on the road and the world, and eventually moved back in 94, and St. Pete's been the home since.
Well, where were you out and about and doing? What were you doing?
Joined the Army, was overseas, was in Arizona. Started doing stand-up in Arizona after I got out of the Army in 84. And a little piece of name-dropping trivial poop. I started with David Spade. When we were all going to ASU at the time, Arizona State, and I was a theater major, and I'd see him around campus, and then someone told me about the open mic at a comedy club called Finny Bones that was in Phoenix, and that's where I saw Dave Spade for the first time, who used to wear a preppy little sweater and looked like he just got out of elementary school. I mean, he was
that's so funny.
He still looks like that.
Hi, I'm David Spade. I'm this many. And he would hold up his fingers and try and scream for it. Was kind of a, and you could always get a line if you were going up after him. It was like, to thank Chaparral High School for letting Dave come out tonight and play curfew or, you know, that sort of thing. And then from there, got a chance to, an audition took me to New York, and I ended up staying in the city for about a year and a half. And nothing came of the audition. I started studying acting then with Udo Hagen and William Hickey. If you remember him from Pritzi's Honor, he was the old guy. Charlie, she gotta go.
Oh, cool.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And he was also the grandfather in the Christmas Vacation movie. So, and then,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's cool.
Oh, have you seen my smokes? And that's the way he taught too. Listen, no one's going to believe you unless you believe it yourself.
That is awesome. And didn't you go to HB Studio there to study?
Yeah, that's where I met him at. That's Uta Hagen, and I got met her on a couple of occasions, and then that's where I first met Bill Hickey, Mr. Hickey, and because I thought, well, I was supposed to learn from Uta Hagen over here, and I didn't know who this William Hickey was, and eventually I learned who he was and went, oh, okay. And Austin Pendleton, who was also a member of the faculty, he would come in and do workshops from time to time, but it was mostly William Hickey and Uta Hagen, and I audited that class. When they finally came to me after about 7-8 months, and they said, listen, we don't have record of you paying. And I said, oh, I've been auditing. They said, for how long? So then they said, here's the bill. And I didn't have, $2,000 to come up with right then and there. So I parted company with the establishment. I went on the road, and I have since paid them back. And because I still get their fundraising literature, and I still support them because they are so gracious to
that's cool
not banish me completely.
Right. So, how did you decide you wanted to be in the performing arts? Were you always a ham as a kid?
Well, kind of, sort of. My dad was the news director and local anchorman on Channel 13, which is now Fox 13. But when I was growing up, it was a CBS affiliate, and he was. Mm-hmm. He was on just before Walter Cronkite was every single night.
Oh, wow.
27 years. And I think John Wilson is probably the closest guy who kind of still, and he's retired now. So that was the last of the old guard in my book. Bob Height and those guys, good evening, no bullshit, here's the news, kind of a guy.
Right. You know,
who right. slept in his tie. I mean, Ron Burgundy was the typical, cartoon, back in the days when my dad really flourished. It was a wide lapel in the 70s and blow dry hair and, and the Anchorman, but he wrote every word that came out of his mouth. He was a journalism major. He wasn't a mass comm major, which a lot of people in so-called journalism are today. Which he saw the end pretty soon. When they start calling it a show, it's no longer a broadcast, and that's the end of civilization as we know it. And, it's a broadcast. It's the news. It's not a show. Mike Douglas is a show. So I saw him coming out of the TV, and everybody else that I knew, Flip Wilson, John Wayne, I thought he knew everybody. I thought, so it's like, I thought they were going to come home for dinner at night, and you were going to bring home some people you work with. And then when I was about maybe 4 or 5, he would take us to the station on weekends when he had to work on Saturdays. And then my brother and I would run wild in the studio, and I saw control room, and then I go, this is how it works. The control room looked like NASA. Looked like a spaceship in there. And someone showed me how to mark and take camera angles and then run teleprompter. 7 or 8 years old, I'm putting together little graphics packages for the weather. And this is really neat. And learn how to edit tape and find some old sports footage it was all sound on tape, sound on film. Back in those days, and you find
physical film,
right? Digital. Yeah, and you find this film, and you find it in the buckets in the edit rooms of old when University of Tampa had a football game, and so I put together these little reels of footage I'd find on the floor, and actually spliced this film with a cold with a hot press and glue, and make these little teeny little reels together. The fun was playing them backwards and watching the players run backwards. That was the biggest.
That's funny.
And that just kind of stuck. And when people would walk down the street, no matter where we were with my father, people would come up and say, hey, we saw you last night. Good job. You keep people honest. No one ever said anything bad or negative. And it was always complimentary. And I said, well, who was that, Dad? He said, I have no idea. I said, well, that's pretty cool. I would like to have a complete stranger come up to me and say, hey, we saw you last night. And
right.
That's pretty cool. And better than kicking you in the shins and going, I think you're a piece of shit and you should die.
We get both of those.
Right. Exactly. You should drop dead.
Right.
Right.
So what was your dad's name?
Hugh Smith.
Hugh Smith. Okay.
I'm Hugh Smith. And in efforts of all fairness, he met and he's passed in, 7. So I'm not speaking ill of the dead in any way, shape, or form. It was one of those life lessons of 27 years. He led an impeccable, exemplary life, but on personal side of things, and I was stationed, I believe I was in Texas when this happened, and he was caught soliciting prostitution. It was an undercover police officer, and he was involved in a little sting operation in Tampa, which caught a couple members of a sports franchise, members of the clergy, and other city leaders.
Oh. And,
yeah, it was kind of a huge scandal, as it were.
Thinking with the little head that time.
I'm sorry?
Thinking with the little head that time.
Exactly. It wasn't thinking at all. And here's a guy who, you know, definitely could, you know, was making money and successful, man. Why he had to do that? It's, you know, who can get into the hearts of people sometimes? I don't know.
And, right.
And eventually it happened again. You know, it seemed like almost 10 years apart, something like that. I don't know if it actually stopped entirely, but that's the second time he got caught. So, but, and then he had to basically resign. The first time he caught it, he admitted it. And he could have very easily said, I was doing background for an investigative story and played the system and gotten away with it. You know, the old man did not have sex with that woman routine. He would have gotten away with it. He would have. But he didn't. He admitted it. And then he used, back in the days when he had editorial time, he would give his own views in editorial segments on it was on whatever it is, a bond initiative, city politics, whatever it was. The last story you just saw about capital punishment. And he used that time to apologize and said, I'm guilty. And which is, and it was accountability. And I saw that firsthand, you know, when you get caught, admit it. He didn't play games. He could have. He could have done fat. I mean, which is commonplace. Make it go away, spin it away, you know.
Right.
Want to get on with my personal and family life. It cost him dearly.
And wow.
The second time he got caught, it cost him even more than that.
Wow.
And, so after all that stellar career where he was the number one rated newsman, he made Channel 13 what it is, that big building on Kennedy Boulevard.
Right.
85% responsible for it because he was at 25 share ratings for 27 years. They were number one. And that's when CBS had MASH and All in the Family and Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah, wow.
And Channel 13, your dial never left Channel 13.
Right.
Except
right. I remember those days.
Yeah. And then, you know, sadly he met his own demise, and it was a lesson in humility. You know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're caught, at least admit it and own up to it. And that's a hard lesson to learn in a close family
member
set example, but it's something I will never forget.
Right.
So, Ward, you've done a ton of stuff, way too much to mention all of it here. So when we do the blog post to promote this episode, I'll have a link to your IMDb page.
Cool.
But I just would like to mention a few things. Mm-hmm. Like we saw you a few times. One time was back in 2014 in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest at Free Fall Theater. Mm-hmm. And just a little PSA for Free Fall, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I noticed on their site, they're saying that we will return to safe drive-in live performances October 23rd. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be War of the Worlds.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
A few cool things that we saw you in. You've been in several TV series. We saw you in Nashville as the chief of police, in Zoo as a scientist, in MacGyver. Mm-hmm. As a general.
Just recently.
Yeah, that's the newer MacGyver. That's where he's younger.
Yes.
And I think this one is still to come out. The Right Stuff, you're
that's
a minister.
November.
November?
Okay.
And
that's on Disney Plus.
And that's based on
Disney Plus, you said?
Yep.
Okay. Yep,
cool. And that's based on the book about the first Mercury astronauts, and it stars Patrick J. Adams. Mm-hmm. He's one of the guys from Suits.
Yep. Oh, okay.
He was the younger guy in Suits who was pretending to be a lawyer.
Yeah, really serializing it out and really being more in line with the book. Because if you read the book and compared to the movie, Tom Wolfe really had his differences with the movie.
Mm.
As much as you like the movie, as cool as it might have been, if you get to find the backstory of what the production elements and the drama behind that, that's kind of unnerving. But so this series seeks to really capture what the human side, and also capture from the family side what the wives were going through.
Cool.
Even though they cover that in the movie, but it's really going to focus on on the family strain and the stress and of being the very first at all this stuff in a project that everyone could have easily died. Some did, and an Apollo mission, eventually test pilots were killed in the run up to it all. So it was a crazy and hairy endeavor that they were getting involved in, and I'm looking forward to seeing the whole thing.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, we will too.
And you also have a film coming out in 2021. Kilroy was here.
Yes, that's what they say. Shot that 2 years ago, and it's amazing. You talk about the editing process.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's like you don't even remember it at this point.
Exactly. And there's, you know, so many projects that are like that, stuff that's done and in the can. They just haven't got distribution yet. And I don't know what, and I don't think that's it with this film. I just think it's still in post-production, because that was produced, directed by Kevin Smith, and shot on location in Sarasota with a lot of people from the film school down there, from New England School of Design. So half the crew were a bunch of these college kids that were so enthusiastic and so wonderful and just so, you know, after it. And Kevin laid back, and there was a student director that was there and said, "Oh," it was a woman, and a little woman, or was a young woman, and said, "Okay, okay, Janice, call the shots." And so he'd get everything set up, and then she'd go, "Light, speed, roll." And so give this young person a chance to really call the shots, as it were. And to be involved with it was really great. So, and they've been editing and doing all the special effects. And I think they were affected from the lockdown, so they weren't able to get to the studios to, you know, and post. Everything was closed for the longest time. And so I think they're wrapping it up. And the trailer is out. You can see me. I get my neck snapped in it.
Oh no!
Oh no!
You have to send me a link for that, would you?
Yeah, I will do that. It's when the part came down. You said I was playing the general and the judge and the chief of police. That's when the parts come down. That's what they say. This one was called Featured Kill. What was that? And I was the role was a doctor, and I forget his guy's name, and he just said something nice to this girl. "It's good to see you again after all this time. You're among friends here," and whatever it is. And, you know, this creature goes nuts and kills everybody that's at this fun. Really awesome and horror and graphic and really, really cool. So I had to, this feature kill me. So I had to get this prosthetic put on my neck with this little hose with fake blood coming out of it. And the makeup was fantastic. Hopefully I'll send you some pictures of that. I really can't send them out yet until they release the picture, because it's really, you know, kind of quiet property. But just cool to see how they did this latex and this makeup match on my neck to make it match. It was really amazing. The guy effects, and Kevin Smith would not let him off the hook. The special effects guy worked, his big claim to fame was on Boogie Nights, and he was in charge of Dick Dingler. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You can tell everybody that you were in a movie with the special effects guy who made the ding-dong for.
This thing was like down past my knee.
May I see it?
Really?
Please.
Yeah, so they described that the film Kilroy Was Here. It's a comedy horror anthology film centered around the phenomenon of the Kilroy Was Here graffiti. Right. And I thought that started in Vietnam, because I guess that's when I first noticed it around that time, because I wasn't born when it actually came out during World War II.
One of the first military memes that, that was out there.
Yeah. And for the movie, they spell Kilroy with two L's, so like kill.
Oh,
and
okay.
The creature has kind of like that, you know, you see the nose was peeking over, you know, what you see on the... So the creature has kind of that elephantine feature to it, among other things. You really don't get a good look at him. It's kind of like the first Alien, where you get slight looks at the
little glimpses.
What is it? You know, your imagination fills in the blanks.
Right.
That's cool.
Right. Cool.
So you have a live comedy show coming up this coming Saturday, October 10th at the Palladium.
Yes, finally.
That's... And isn't this, I think this is your seventh season?
I think it might be the eighth, come to think of it. And I think you guys, lovely as you are, you've been there for, I think, every single season. At one point or another, you stopped.
I think we've caught most of them.
We've caught most of them. Yeah. We might have missed one or two, but yeah.
So this one coming up again, it's Saturday, October 10th at the Palladium in downtown St. Pete. The show is Ward Smith and Friends, and it features, Helen Keeney, Tim the Dairy Farmer, and Lou Angel Wolf. And it's an hour and a half show, and it's an earlier show, which is nice. You don't have to stay up too late. It's 8 p.m. to 9:30, and the tickets are $20 in advance or $25 the day of.
That's right. And it's also going to be upstairs in the big room. You saw me downstairs in the side door. It's kind of packed. You're going to have it upstairs in 800-seater so they can social distance. And
nice.
So even if you're in groups of four, you can still sit in your groups of four and you'll be social distance. There'll be plenty of places to spread out. So
glad to hear that. We were wondering about that.
Yeah, we were wondering about it. Are they requiring masks?
Yeah, masks for entry and not entry. And then when you go to the bathrooms, of course, and come back, because there's no intermission in the shows. Well, you know, for comedy shows, there's never intermission anyway.
Right.
But if you want to run down and get a drink and come back up, just a mask when you move about the cabin, gotcha. As it were.
Right.
But everything else is, they're trying. This weekend, we're taping this now, but October 3rd, they're starting with back up with some music. Mm-hmm. We'll see how it goes. And then the weekend after that is when we're having comedy, and then there'll be another weekend of music. So the 3 weekends in October, the Palladium is opening the doors to have some live shows and to get people to come back. And people are starting to come back slowly but surely. And also, you know, social distance-wise, and I say we'll call it pandemic consciousness to at least or being your mitigating, you know, masking, whatnot, and social distancing. If people want to go out, that's cool. If they don't want to go out, that's also fine.
Right.
But I think more and more people are starting to test the waters, and I think the Palladium is trying to do this as well. And I think after, you know, with Free Fall, after they do their drive-in run, maybe they'll reassess and see how they can open up. There's so much to be said for, you know, Free Fall in the American right. state when they're associated with union contract, so they have to really make sure that they're applying by the union guidelines, and the unions have been trying, you know, to get their opening protocols, you know, together so they can open.
Right.
That's a sticky going. It's SAG, the Screen Actors Guild, just finalized some stuff. So the auditions that I'm getting now, I had an audition yesterday, and I'm starting to come through. Things are starting to pick back up that stopped during the pandemic, and now that they have guidelines in terms of on-set protocols, that you're able to get some work based on how many people you have involved in the project, work is starting to happen.
Right. Right. Well, good. We're glad to hear that.
Yeah, a lot more goes into this stuff than people realize.
It's, yeah, exactly.
So we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk food like we normally do.
Exactly.
We'll be right back. Ramen is the ultimate comfort food, and Buya Ramen on the 900 block of Central Avenue is my go-to. It's so freaking good. The broth is like a silky blanket to warm up your mouth, and the hearty proteins, or just mushrooms for vegetarians, it'll have you saying, "Ooh, mommy, the umami is making my eyes roll back in my head." My favorites are the pork belly and the short rib. Mmm. And then there's the noodles. O-M-G. Go get the best ramen in St. Pete at Buya Ramen at 911 Central Avenue in the Edge District of downtown St. Pete.
Do ya, Buya? Hey, foodies. Do you know about the Zest podcast? If you're listening to us, you should be listening to them too.
They're part of the Tampa NPR station WUSF 89.7. On the Zest, you'll learn new recipes, baking tips, and barbecue secrets. You'll hear about what's ripe, what's growing, and what's in season.
The Zest podcast is hosted by Robin Sussingham, an award-winning reporter and producer who's also an avid home cook and baker. Robin's a native Floridian and has been searching out flavors and the fascinating stories behind them from Key West to Pensacola.
Learning to care for a sourdough starter and learning to bake sourdough breads really speaks to people in a very deep way. It's part of our collective history, and we're getting back to our roots and our self-sufficiency.
Just like us, the Zest podcast does interviews with chefs and restaurateurs and talks about food and recipes covering the Tampa Bay area and throughout Florida.
It's what we listen to when we're not doing our own show. Check out the Zest podcast at thezestpodcast.com.
We are back! We are back!
We are back with local St. Petersburg actor, comedian, and voiceover artist, Ward Smith. And now we're going to talk food. And you told me that a little over a year ago, you started a plant-based diet. Now, how did you decide to do that?
Well, I was engaged, you know, my wife now, Karen. And
yes.
When I met her, and she's been working out and health conscious for all her life, and so she's very good for me. Women are good for us, Kevin. They really, really are. And so wonderful. We have good women in our lives. And she was kind of, you know, eating clean to start with. And she did eat chicken at that point. So flash forward, we decided we're going to get married, and almost a year ago now. And so we shook on it and we said, let's try and get in shape and look good on our wedding day. So we said, Labor Day, last September, no booze for 30 days. We jumpstart our systems, and we ate clean, and then we thought we were just going to go focus on plant-based stuff. Yeah, and some meat here and there. And I had like red meat here and there. And I had some chicken here and there. And always fish. So, but it got less and less meat. And I started realizing then meat, little tinges of gout that I would have. And some digestive issues too. And my tummy had diverticulitis some years back. So, all right, I'll just kind of stick with chicken. And then more and more, we just didn't buy it in the house. So it's not like... nothing against it. It's just when we go to the store, that's not what we pick up because Karen doesn't eat that. My wife doesn't eat it. And so we started getting and more recipes. And then when you start doing stuff at home, you eat out at certain places and see what people are doing with certain vegan and vegetarian type dishes. And then we apply it at home. And the next thing you know, your body just gets used to it.
Right.
And then, of course, we broke our diet when we went to Italy for our honeymoon.
That looks like a fabulous honeymoon.
Oh, that was absolutely. Well, if you're going to break your diet, that's when you do it.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You notice no headaches with those wonderful wines over there.
Right. It's a different. So do you follow any particular plan?
Well, we're not really. We have a couple, you know, there's great books that are out there, and but we're just kind of applying it as a protein source, a carb source, and a complex carb source.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a protein, a vegetable, and a complex carb source. And for me, knowing what my grams are up is because in that past year, I've been kind of training an awful lot, taking up jiu-jitsu. And sometimes, even though I've been furloughed, sometimes I'm able to work out 3 times a day. So at least, you know, I got, you know, can make some use of the time and expel some energy. And so we've been, had all this time to experiment. And that's, you know, worked in with the diet, just, you know, I couldn't train jiu-jitsu and kind of and live the other way I was living too.
Right.
Right. So for any of our listeners that might not know exactly what a plant-based diet is, I did a little bit of reading yesterday and I ended up on Forks Over Knives, which that is actually a title of a documentary film that shows how plant-based whole foods diet can cure or prevent many of the worst chronic diseases. It's also a website. I think they even have a magazine.
Game Changer is another wonderful film that's on Netflix.
Game Changer. Okay. So yeah, so whole food describes natural foods that are not heavily processed. That means whole, unrefined, or minimally refined ingredients. And plant-based means food that comes from plants and doesn't include animal ingredients such as meat, milk, eggs, or honey. What's interesting is plant-based is not vegetarian. So plant-based, vegetarian, vegan are all different things. And a vegetarian diet will allow you, if you want to eat processed and refined foods, even fast foods and salty snacks. So it's not really health-based. It's about not eating animal products.
Right. That's typically for most vegetarians that I know, a socially conscience issue.
Yeah. Don't hurt the poor animals.
Right, right.
I think they're tasty.
I mean, we could be considered pescatarians too. We do eat our heavily, the other outside protein source we need is mostly fish. More than plants, because it is a lot. I mean, you have to, the proteins that you get from plants, I mean, they're fine, but for what I need to have a little bit more. I need to consume 140 grams of protein a day.
Wow.
And that's based on my levels, my weight, my age, and what I want to accomplish. I want to reduce body fat, gain muscle. That's up to the individual.
Right.
You know, whatever your plan is and how it incorporates into your life. Keto diets are the same thing. You could call it high protein, you know, zero carbs. You know, not really zero because there's carbs in everything. But it's not the processed, refined, and added carbs. Much right. as we love bread. Right.
You vegetables, know, fruits.
Right. I had pasta the other night, so that's a cheat night.
Nice. Right, right.
So do you have any favorite, what are some of your favorite plant-based dishes and foods?
Well, geez, they're, thanks to Instapot, everything is just kind of, you know, stewed together. And if it's summer squashes and name your names. It's like maybe some Indian dishes, but I'm not a big fan of curry, but there are a lot of stews and they're just, sometimes plant-based burgers are great. You can, you know, make burritos and tacos out of those. With avocados and sweet potatoes and cabbage, and you know, you can really, a lot of fun is exploring the options with all the ingredients that are out there. A lot of stuff to replace the meat and all portobellos and eggplant, and make that a nice little burger, open face burger portobello, and on top of roasted pepper and some quinoa, a lot of grains, quinoa and millet and farro.
Mm-hmm. So that's what you're referring to when you're referring to a plant-based burger. What are your views on like the Beyond or Impossible burgers? Because I feel like those are processed.
Well, they are. I mean, because they're plant-based because they come from a plant.
Right. You
know, a processing plant.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
You can make
I have that. We feel that way about those. I mean, I love your idea on the portobello burger. My friend Christina is a vegetarian. She loves the, you know, black bean burgers. And
those are wonderful too. You can make your own as well. It's a process. You can grind your own beans and you can you know, grind your own mushrooms and make your patty with, you know, carrots. And then there's a plant-based, I don't want to say sucrose, but there's a plant-based, not like a bonding agent. It's not a honey, but it kind of keeps it together so it forms a little patty. It's not going to crumble on you.
Cool.
Like xanthan or something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah.
But we're experimenting with making our own patties. And at the same time, if you have a Beyond Burger in the freezer when you're tired and you just want something quick, that's okay too. I don't make it a habit. It's not
right.
The go-to source. It's, you know, there's tempeh you can have, there's tofu you can have, there's seitan you can have, there's different things that you can have, but you also have to be conscious of the fat content. That's
right.
Your body does need certain fats, but there's a lot of, you know, I can see people have been eating vegetarian for 10 years and I can't lose a pound. Well, you got to look at what you're eating. You
know? There's a lot of carbs in that stuff.
Yeah.
And
vegetables. Right? All and that cheese.
If they're having salads with cheese and blue cheese dressing on it, you're not going to lose any weight. If
that's right. Exactly.
I had a salad with blue cheese dressing last night.
You didn't tell me you ruined it with that, honey. Yeah.
What was the Fresno chili blue cheese dressing from Greenstock? It's really good.
Well, yeah, St. Pete meat provision.
The gravy is not a food group, Kevin.
Yeah, right.
So, hey, Ward, do you have a favorite cheat day restaurant?
Cheat day restaurant? Gee, you know, boy, I was going to ask you guys. But there's so many places to go. I realize when you talk about stuff that's processed, depends upon where you go, that might be a cheat day too. A lot of places we go to, you look for, you know, who's farm fresh, farm to table, not frozen, not processed. And there's a lot of places that are available that are out there. Mm-hmm. But sometimes if you go just to get sushi or something like that, you know, the fish, sure, it's fresh, but it's not caught locally. You know, sometimes it is, most times it isn't. So if you're going to go to some places for sushi and have some white rice and do that sort of thing, yeah, like the Lure, those are kind of neat places. Or any places, you know, up and down Central, if I want to cheat, they have a really nice falafel burger over at Stillwater's. It's not, you know, is it the most healthiest? Well, compared to, you know, a short rib burger, which is really good, but, you know, for where I am at right now, my option is to have that falafel burger and to enjoy it that way with the lettuce and tomato and, you know, maybe get some sweet potato fries as opposed to regular fries. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you made me hungry.
Well, I'm talking to you guys. It's always hungry. Let's go meet for lunch and we can talk more. Bring the laptops and the tape recorders with us and we'll just talk this over a good meal.
Ward Smith, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, Ward.
This is Chris Walker.
New on the website, we have a review of Chai Mixology. They are on the 1100 block of Central Avenue in downtown St. Pete in the Edge District, and they specialize in poke and boba drinks. You can find that review on stpetersburgfoodies.com. And next week on the show, we'll be talking to St. Pete chef and culinary arts instructor, Clay Dempster. If you'd like to send us fan mail, hate mail, or if you have any requests for interviews or restaurant reviews, just send an email to info@stpetersburgfoodies.com. And further, I haven't said this in a long time, so I'd like to remind you, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please join in and give us a 5-star rating and type a review if you're so inclined. It helps to get the show found and gain new listeners. And also, the St. Petersburg Foodies podcast can be found on iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, and now Amazon Music has podcasts. You can listen there as well. You can also listen on Apple HomePod, Amazon Echo, and Google Home. And just tell it to play the St. Petersburg Foodies podcast.
That's it for this episode of the St. Petersburg Foodies podcast.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks to our guests, Ward Smith
and Abby Allen.
And thanks to our sponsors,
Rollin' Oats,
The Zest Podcast,
Noble Crust,
Booyah Ramen, and Engine Number 9.
Our announcer is Candace Aviles from Meet the Chef and Channel 10 News, and our theme music is provided by the Chris Walker Band.
We'd like to remind you to check out all the latest restaurant reviews, foodies news, top 10 lists, and updated happy hours on stpetersburgfoodies.com.
Please give us a rating and review on whichever app you're using to listen to the show. And remember to share the show with your foodie friends.
Until next time,
may your food be hot
and your bubbly cold.
Oh, the chicken breast sandwich. No skin, dry toast.